Well, pass the salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I just realized how paranoid I feel as I sit there and look into that screen and the intro's playing. I don't know, it's just kind of weird, you know, looking there, waiting for that thing to stop so I can start. Morning, September 7th, I think we said, 2017. The Lord's not making another one, never giving us another day like this one. This is the day he's made. We ought to rejoice and be glad in it. Scripture says, let us run with patience today. The race that is set before us with Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. And it's an honor to be here, to be behind this microphone, and to have all of you join me here this morning. I said to Serge, I said to the group here before we went on the air, I thought yesterday's show rocked. It rocked. And just rocked because of the insight, you know, it's just good old biblical insight. And I'm not patting myself on the back or trying to credit myself for anything amazing, but boy, oh boy, the Holy Spirit is sure working through this show. You know, I noticed yesterday, I don't think where to start here. Do I start with the hurricane? No, because I started to say this. I noticed yesterday, the world's full of lost people. I was among a group of people yesterday. Well, here's all you got to do. Walk into your local Kroger store. I don't know, maybe you guys don't have Kroger's. That's our big grocery store, Kroger's. Different parts of the country have different things. Some of you listening in Australia, I don't even know what you have in Australia. And yes, we do have listeners in Australia. I heard from one this morning. You walk in your local grocery store and you sit down and you just do some people watching. I'm a girl watcher. I'm a girl watcher. We went to my family. We went on Labor Day. We went to the Columbus Zoo water park, took our grandbabies there, and I did a lot of people watching. And do you have any idea how many people are profoundly lost? Profoundly, profoundly lost. Say, Coach, how can you say that? Well, I just can say it. You just look around, you can say it. You know what else is really absolutely astounding to me? Hope this doesn't hurt anybody's feelings. Everybody is tattooed. I mean, they got them up and down their body. They got so many tattoos, a sailor would be ashamed that he doesn't even fit in. It is amazing, folks, in this once great Christian nation, when, as we talked about yesterday, the lawlessness that's taking place in this Christian nation, there's no restraint. The licentious, lasciviousness, those two big words, licentiousness and lasciviousness. Licentious means license. You see the word license in licentiousness. People feel they have the right to do whatever they want to do. My life, my right, my body, my choice, my. That thing runs rampant. And if you step on anybody's toes about anything, you don't have a right to do that. And then lasciviousness is just debauchery without any restraint. Golly. There's a lot of lost people. And then the incredible thing is all these lost people, they all take off their hat, hold over their heart when you say the Pledge of Allegiance or sing God Bless America. It's just the deception's amazing. And the reason the deception is amazing, in my most humble opinion, not so humble opinion, is we've lost the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord. And we were talking yesterday about antinomianism, the fact that the law no longer really applies. And the rule of law doesn't really apply anywhere. And I really kind of concluded quickly yesterday when I didn't mean to, when I was talking about all the miscreants, all the law breaking of President Obama, 77 of them, I think it was on that list, 77 or 78. We didn't get to all of them. Hillary Clinton is just as bad. Lawlessness is everywhere. everywhere. I'm going to show you something today I'm really disappointed about. Been praying for Governor Matt Bevin in Kentucky in regards to the last remaining abortion clinic. And it was kind of the trial's still going on. But in opening statements yesterday, I got a video I'm going to show you here in a second. In opening statements yesterday, the state of Kentucky didn't argue that abortion was murder and abortion was wrong. No. They argued that they have to protect women. And so therefore they have to have hospital privileges to protect women. Not that abortion's murder. But once again, we find ourselves arguing on the wrong turf, on the wrong argument. And so if this federal judge says, yes, that clinic needs to be closed because it doesn't have hospital privileges, and then a week later they get hospital privileges, then the clinic's back open. Rather than the governor of Kentucky, Matt Bevin, and the attorneys and elected officials arguing on, this is not legal in Kentucky. This is not legal in Kentucky. Folks, did you know, have you noticed already that DACA, I'm going to get into that the immigration issue, have you noticed how many states are already coming up and saying, we're not following that. We're not following that. Yet everybody falls in line with abortion. Everybody, nobody will defy. Nobody will stand up and say, no, abortion is not legal in this state. No, nobody will. All those pro-life Republicans, all those, I got a lot to show you today. Anybody want to weigh in here before I really get ripping and roaring? Because you can't tell this. I'm bubbling inside and I'm ready to pop the clutch. Anybody want to, Sarge, anything talk about on the hurricane relief, anything down there? Chad, anyone there?
Well, we've added some spaces for construction type people to potentially do some debris removal and maybe sheetrock removal for our September 21st. So I hope to have the website updated with that. I have some names already, so we're going to continue to add to that group since we have a little bit more space to sleep people. So if you thought you wanted to come down and help do some construction related work, we're willing to hear your opportunity to join us.
Yes. In fact, even though we tried to restrict it to 30, we've kind of pulled back on that. And I'm going to say this, I'll probably get a bad email from Sarge. We're not going to turn away. If you want to come and help, give us some time. I'm going down there today, flying down today. And Chad and I are going to fly around or not drive around. We're going to check out other areas, maybe some other places where we can deploy people. Our issue is housing, showers, that kind of stuff. So we want to make sure that if we invite you to come down, we have a place for you to stay. And as more and more gets cleared out and the water recedes, we're hoping that maybe more and more churches are going to open up their doors, allow people to come and stay on that. Right now, Chad's got us set up because we had to do it early. He's got us our first foray down on the 21st. We have to maybe stay in some hotels. I'd still like to work beyond that. We do have them reserved, but that would be my goal. We wouldn't have to do it. Hey, my granddaughter's here. She's grown up. Those of you remember 2 years ago, we started watching this little Reese, so she's going to sit here for a second. So if you want to come, we can use you. Great opportunity to come. We've done some more organization yesterday with Ray Gano. It's been a big help to us. And Pastor Dale Socia has just been a yeoman's work down and out of the New Orleans area. He's running 4 or 5 hour trip over there every couple of days, taking supplies over there. We're getting focused and zoned in on exactly what it is that those folks need down there. The money continues to come in. We got a big semi truckload of bread products going to head down that way. We got hamburgers and hot dogs and food. So if you find it in your heart that you want to help, we're a pretty good crew to give that money to. We're taking Bibles, scripture verses, tracts. So we're going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those folks down there. We'd love to have you. We'd love to have you come and join us if you want to. Okay. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord. We don't want to talk about that in fact, people call it fear porn. Or people say, why are you so negative? Why are you always such a downer, Debbie Downer? Why are you always talking about that kind of stuff? But you know, the scripture tells us Ezekiel 3, Jared. Let's go there real quickly. Ezekiel 3. Thank you, Lord, because I was looking for a scripture to be able to start off with. And then when my granddaughter, our oldest granddaughter, Reese, came downstairs, then it hit me. Ezekiel 3. I think I'm in the right spot, Jared. And we've used this one before. Is that right? Ezekiel 3, verse 13, I think it is. Let's slide on down a little bit, Jared. No, I have got the wrong deck. There it is, 18. There it is. There it is. Son of man, 17, Ezekiel 3:17. Can you see this? Whoops, right there. Son of man, I've made you a watchman under the house of Israel. That's the church. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his wicked life. I threw that in there. The same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. There it is. How many times does it say wicked right there in that one paragraph? So I say unto the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give not warning or speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save the wicked man. There's four wickeds right there in one sentence. You use that term wicked today, they think it's Halloween and the Wicked Witch of the West. That's the only wicked person they know. And then 19 says, but if you do warn the wicked, and he doesn't turn from his wickedness, two wickeds, nor from his wicked way, three wickeds, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. So we have, hey, Serge, listen, it says this, you want to deliver your soul, you better warn the wicked. Because if you don't warn them, you're going to require the blood, your blood's going to be required. He'll say, you mean you knew the truth, you didn't tell him? Verse 20 says, so again, when a righteous man does turn from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he's going to die. Because you've not given him a warning. He shall die in his sin. Look, folks, we're talking about a righteous man. Once saved, always saved, right? When a righteous man, we're talking about, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. Wow. Hey, Roger, that blows old once saved, always saved out of the water, doesn't it? Let's read this again, folks. And when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commits sin, iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. But look at this, boys, his blood I'm going to require at your hand. You knew it, you saw it, you didn't warn him. It's on your account, on your charge card. Nevertheless, 21 says, if you warn that righteous man, and that righteous man sins not, and he does not sin, he will surely live because he's been warned. But the great news is you've delivered your soul. Isn't that something? So our responsibility is to deliver the mail to the wicked. The wicked righteous and the wicked unrighteous. If you fall into sin, it seems to me that the Lord calls both of those wicked. Floor is open. Jump in here. Anybody? So I'm just trying to make the point that that we are to open our mouths. Because I made a new hate list yesterday. I can't remember the name of it. Another one called us wicked. Yes, sir. Jump in here. I see you. See your mic's open.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what a way to wake us up in the first thing in the morning.
What's right there, though, isn't it, bud?
Yeah, it sure is.
I mean, we can ignore it. We can ignore it if we want to. And I don't think I'd ever seen it to that degree either, where it very clearly says that the righteous man becomes unrighteous if he's back in the sin. He's unrighteous. Why do we want that? I'm sorry?
No. Coach, you know, use their same line. If you see something, say something. Looks like you saw something, so you said something.
And it's exactly what they would want you to do, right? People say, well, you can't lose your salvation. I said, well, why would you want to? What do you mean you can't lose? Why would you want to? And I would, you know, I would say that anybody who loses their salvation, in my opinion, probably wasn't really saved to begin with. Just my take on it, okay? So a lot of wicked people. Hey, Dale, now that you're in there real quick, you got an update for us for what you've been doing? You got going on down there? Shared some on the call last night. People love to hear some of the stuff that's happened.
I'm not sure if you had gotten it. I got a text message late last night from Chris Keys. He had sent me this beautiful picture of this him and this little girl and an older couple. And I'm thinking, did he send this to the wrong people? Was this his family or something? He sent me a picture and told the story of this granddaughter that he rescued. So that was, I'll have to forward that to you. It was absolutely just touching how they they said they had picked her and put her in the boat and stuff. But we went down there last night and met up with another gentleman, Jeff, who I've been talking with. And we sat around and we emptied out the trailer. They were getting ready to do the feeding again, brought down a bunch of supplies and, of course, Bibles. But we just encouraged one another. And the house that he is staying in, electricity, that was one of the ladies that he had rescued. She gave him the keys to the house. That house is a potential staging area because it would definitely sleep 10 people, if needed be. But it looks like everything else is working fine with Ray. I'm going to be picking up more supplies today. Like you said, it seemed like every other day I'm going back down there taking care of it. So, but I sent you pictures, or I don't know if Kevin grabbed them offline as I was driving into Texas, because this time the interstate was open, and I'm taking pictures as I'm driving in the flooded area in the Port Arthur area. When you're crossing through like the Big Star of Texas on the Interstate 10,
you break it up.
And
see, Dale, if you're on the Michael Savage show, I'd hang up on you and tell you get to a landline. You're breaking up a little bit, man.
I would have loved to hear what he said.
Yeah, we love to hear what you say. So if we get that cleared up, we're going to come back to it. So folks, we're doing great stuff, and I can't wait to get down on the ground and see exactly what's going on. Couple things in the news I want to cover. I don't know if I'm going to take time to. I've been warning you, okay? Can we just jump right in here? Can we just jump in there? Say sure, Coach. Go ahead. Hey, Jared. So the very first thing that I sent you today, bud, says the Caucasian. I've been warning you, trying to warn you. Anglo-Saxons, Associated Press, survey. White Christians are now a minority of the U.S. population. There it is, boys. Bring in some more of those Muslims. Bring more of them on in here, will you? Let's bring more of them in. The share of Americans who identify as white and Christian has dropped below 50%. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Survey released Wednesday said, Christians overall remain a large majority in the United States, nearly 70% of Americans. However, white Christians, once predominant in the country's religious life, now are only 43% of the American population. Let that sink in, fellas. Let that sink in. Christians, white Christians are 43% of the American population. Changes occurred across the spectrum of Christian traditions in the United States, including sharp drops in membership in predominantly white mainline Protestant denominations, such as Presbyterians and Lutherans, and increasing Latino presence in the Roman Catholic Church as some non-Hispanics, white Catholics lead. Wow. And shrinking white ranks of white evangelicals who until recently have been viewed as immune to decline. Scroll on down a little bit more, Jared. I've looked about three different versions of this article. But folks, this will tell you, let me stop right there a little bit in regards to Catholicism. It'll show you why the Pope's so pro-immigration. Because he's smart enough to look in America and say, wow, all those Mexicans who are Catholics are going to the United States. We better change our position. Here we go. How about this? The trends identified in the survey are fueling anxiety about the place Christians in society, especially evangelicals, alarmed by support for gay marriage and by the increasing share of Americans, about one quarter, who don't identify with faith. President Trump, who repeatedly promised to protect the religious liberty of Christians, drew 80% of his votes from white evangelicals. About 70% of Americans now identify, listen to this, 17% of Americans now identify as white evangelicals. Remember I was telling you all that we're now counterculture? We're less than 1 in 5 white evangelical Christians. Are now less than 1 in 5. So when I said I went to the Columbus Zoo and I look around and everybody's lost, I'm not making it up. Everybody's lost. Now, I don't know about you. I consider an evangelical most likely to be saved. I'm sure mainline denominations, probably there are some people sitting in those that are saved, but salvation really isn't even a big message in those mainline denominations anymore. That was compared to 23. See, 20, just a decade ago, 23% of Americans were white evangelicals. In 10 years, it's dropped 6% or a fourth. Membership of the conservative Southern Baptist Convention, the largest U.S. Protestant group, dropped to 15 million last year. It's the lowest number since 1990. So the Baptists aren't doing something right. Better start being a little bit more seeker-friendly, get those numbers pumped back up. So often white evangelicals have been pointing and listen to this. So often white evangelicals have been pointing in judgment to white mainline groups saying, when you have liberal theology, you decline. I think this data really does challenge the interpretation of linking theological conservatism and growth. Surveyed 100,000 people, blah, 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 blah. So, remember, white, Anglo, Saxon, Protestants. Jared, go right down just a little bit more. Among Catholic, among American Catholics, wait, let's stay right here. The survey also found that more than a third of all Republicans say they are white evangelicals. A third of all Republicans. And nearly three-quarters of identify as white Christians. There's your Republican Party. By comparison, white Christians have become a minority in the Democratic Party. Interesting. Shrinking from 50%. Serge, that was your dad and my dad. Roger, your dad and my dad, those Union Democrats. They were 50% a decade ago. Now it's only 29% of the Democratic Party is white white Christian men. 29%. 40% of look, 40% of Democrats say they have no religious affiliation. Call them God haters for a reason. Yeah, Rog.
I was just going to add to this a little. You know, you think about the 60 million aborted babies, and it's interesting how so much is tied to abortion. Are falling, and we think just simply workers. I think one can argue there is a work shortage in certain areas. There's jobs that need to be filled, so on and so forth. And the argument of the Paul Ryans and the Chancellor Merkel is we need these people to fill the jobs. Imagine there would not be any worker shortage if those babies were here.
Man.
And so we're sowing, and we have been sowing the seeds of our own destruction, and even in an economic workforce standpoint.
Sin has consequences, doesn't it? Sin has consequences.
But the demographics didn't just pop up last month about this issue. They knew this years ago, just looking at population models.
And so that's why they're for open borders, because we need people. We need people. You get it? Pay taxes. We need people. Look at this. Among American Catholics. Are you sitting down for this one, boys and girls? 55% of American Catholics now identify as white, compared to 87% 25 years ago. Think about that a minute. 25 years ago, 87% of Catholics were white. Today it's 55. That is like unbelievable, isn't it? Among the growing presence of Latino Catholics, according to the report, over the last decade, the share of white Catholics in the United States population dropped from 16% to 11%. And over the same period, white mainline Protestants declined from 18% to 13% of all Americans. The world is lost. Americans are lost. Americans are lost. Wow.
Hey, Coach,
go ahead, Dan.
I want to chime in here. I would chime in. We were talking about this yesterday. I was sharing with Chris and I was sharing with Jeff down there. I said, and I was talking in regards to the population growth of the Muslims in America. I said, the average American family is having two children, 2.1, 2.5. The Muslims are averaging 12 children, you know, averaging worldwide, whatever. But they're outpopulating us. And I said, let me show you and connect the dots. The first blessing and commandment of the Lord unto Adam and Eve was to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue the earth. Well, we're not doing a good job of that. And I said, think about this. If I had 12 children and my house flooded in Texas, I wouldn't need anybody else to help me gut my house. But now because we don't have that. People's houses get flooded. They now see they didn't want children. They didn't want the blessing of the Lord. What they wanted was the blessing of their stuff. They cherished their stuff. They loved their stuff, and they would protect their stuff and shoot you if you come took their stuff. But when it flooded, their stuff, they begin to curse their stuff. They didn't want their stuff, and they needed 12 children to come in and gut their house.
That is profound, buddy. That's the truth. That is the truth, isn't there? That's the truth. And so, see, listen, I try to connect the dot here again for you. It's what I try to do. Robert says the narrow gate, Matthew 7, 13 through 14. Folks, I want to show you something here. This whole immigration thing, they know something we don't know. And the statistics I just shared with you ought to be enough that we would wake up and say, wow, yeah, man, America is changing. The world is changing. See, they know we're running out of people. They, being the powers that be, they know that we're running out of people. So when we see all of this, we won't close the borders. We won't stop illegal immigration. We won't do all that. It's because those who are in the positions of authority know we need people. We don't have people to pay taxes. They've let these people in on purpose. We're killing babies. We're killing our children. 60 million. Think of that. And it's not just 60 million. Each one of them would have married and had children. So it's beyond. Guys, we've been doing this for 44 years. What? How long does it take for you to have a baby? What? 24? Let's say 24 years. So we're into the... we're into the third generation of killing babies. We're into the third generation now. And so the numbers are beginning to show up in astronomical ways. And for the most part, we won't talk about it. The churches won't talk about it. The churches are dying. We see it right now. Our churches are being taken over. And we're in a mess. So I want to show you something here. Jared pulled up there. I'm trying to connect all these dots for us today. Jared, it's one, two, third one down. The truth about DACA. DACA. What is that? Delayed something. It's about allowing children of, see, watch out. Words have meaning. Children. Well, I have children. One's 34, one's 33. I have children, but they're adults. They have children. So, see, words, we are styly. They just kill us with words. So this is on Breitbart today. Hey, Chris, good to see you. First time in here, I think, maybe. Good to see you here. 14 things that they're not telling you about DACA. 14 things. And I promise you this, you're not hearing this in your church. No, your pastor's finding 14 ways to be financially prosperous in 14 different counties and 14 different states. In 14 different years. Well, here's 14 things that they're not telling us about DACA. We're going to go down through these real quick. Let's go, scroll down for me, Jared. This is on Breitbart. I always like Breitbart. It's pretty far right, but it's pretty fair, I think. Okay, here we go. I'm not going to read all this stuff to you. I want to show you the 14 things that they're not telling us about DACA. Go ahead, Jared. DACA, number one. This is only the fault of the parents. Okay, it's only this whole thing is the parents should have registered their children, right? They would have been American citizens. Next one, two. DACA recipients are illegal aliens. They're lawbreakers. Remember we talked yesterday about breaking the law? And what is amnesty? Amnesty is relief from breaking the law. Amnesty. Don't you guys wish you could have some amnesty? Would you like to go get caught speeding and get amnesty? Would you like to have some amnesty from your income tax? Amnesty. What is amnesty? Amnesty means you've broken the law and we're going to forgive it. They want amnesty. So by calling it amnesty, it's illegal. Three, DACA is a massive amnesty program. It allows 800,000 people who are here illegally to stay. Stop a minute. Because they play on your emotions and they say this. Well, those children didn't do anything to deserve it. They were just born here. And you can't punish the children for what the father did, what the parents did. Abortion you can. Sure can an abortion punish the children for what the parents did. And so they play on your emotions. Why would we have to send them? Well, see, we either have a rule of law or we don't have a rule of law. And we saw yesterday, because righteousness will abound, the love of many is waxing cold. So everything now is being emotion-based. The politicians are doing it on election-based, on the voter basis. Hey, dudes, white evangelical Christians are dying off. The Republican Party, season two. Four, DACA recipients are not children. They're age 15 to 32. These aren't children. Five, DACA recipients take jobs Americans will do, including entrance into college free. Go on. Six, some are criminals, of course. DACA is not a law, number seven. It is a violation of the law. Do you know that Congress voted and said, nope, nope to DACA, and Obama said, ah, forget you guys. We're going to do it anyway. I'm going to make an executive order. And so what's being repealed now is not a law, but an executive order that was a violation of law. Law breaking, see? Lawlessness is abounding. It's abounding. Everywhere you look is lawless. Eight, most DACA recipients are not overachievers. They want to tell us, oh, they're computer experts and they're mechanics and they're just want to have a... That's not true. It's just not true. You can read this. I'm not going to go through it all. Number nine, DACA is wildly unfair to Americans. Most especially young Americans just starting out. Can't you see? Don't you understand that these illegal immigrants are receiving benefits and it blocks passage of your child up the economic ladder? 10. DACA has already been litigated in 2016 and said no. The American people have already had the debate. Hillary Clinton promised to expand DACA. Trump promised to end DACA. Trump won. Except Trump's flip-flopping. DACA encourages more illegal immigrants. That's right. You don't break the law. Whatever you legalize, you get more of. You legalize abortion, you get more of it. You legalize homosexuality, you get more of it. You legalize illegal immigration, you get more of it. In most states, DACA recipients are eligible for welfare. Illegals, well, can't blame them. It was their parent. Well, let's murder some babies then. We're blaming the child on that one, aren't we? 13. Unless it stopped, DACA will never stop growing. Never. Obama's deputies lowballed his election campaign giveaway by this, predicting it would only affect 560,000. Now it's 900,000. Work permits, Social Security cards. People receiving Social Security that never paid a cent into it. It's lawless. 14 DACA ignores criminal behavior. One more, Roger, and then you can get in here. Go ahead, Roger.
Oh, can you please share some good news?
Yeah, I'll give you some good news. Huh? They call them dreamers. They call these people dreamers. Well, it would be a dream if you can break in and steal what everybody else has. That would be a dream. And they legalize it. Oh my God!
Their dreamers have become our nightmares.
They are, brother. They're becoming our nightmare, buddy.
But Dave, yep. As I say, I always say Dave twice, trying to get your attention. So I did that for Chad's this morning. But I, you know, get as I sit here outside in the country, and it what bothers me the most is the total lack of awareness I see as I leave here this morning, go into the world. The lack of awareness. And I'm not talking the lack of awareness just about salvation, which is the key. You could be a pagan and you better be concerned about this stuff. It's just amazing.
It is just amazing. And because a lot of it's become this whole, both sides, don't be judgmental, non-judgmental. America, home of the land of the free and the home of the brave. Everybody come on in. And guys, remember, abortion is a national sin. You know, I tried to crack open a couple of days ago the idea that whatever flows through the head flows through the body. Lawlessness is flowing through the head of America. It's flowing through the head of lawlessness. like a virus, and it just spreads down through everyone. I think I would imagine if we got Chad on here, if we mic Chad up and let him start telling stories about the things that he runs to, and as being a police officer, the lawlessness. You remember, guys, when we used to have a thing called such a thing as white collar crime? Because white collar crime used to be not as prevalent. And so they had a special division that just checked up on white collar crime. See, blue collar crime, that's just what us working folks do. But you know, white collar crime is now government crime. Government crime. Do you understand that spending money that we don't have, you understand that's a crime? You understand that we're supposed to have a balanced budget? You say, well, there's no balanced budget amendment. There's no law saying you have to. Well, what? What? Come on here. And so again, lawlessness is abounding. Love of many is waxing cold. And I got some connections here for you. I got to show you some stuff. Anybody want to weigh in here? Robert sent me a message. Anybody want to weigh in?
Hey, Coach, have you ever, first off, I was on the way home, I was coining, you know, you coined the phrase pass the salt ministry. Yeah. I have a good title for a sermon for you. It's pass up the salt. That's people are passing you up and your words, brother. But the sound of abortion, have you, I'm sorry, have you seen listen to that video, The Sound of Abortion? It's like 2 minutes and 20 seconds, and it's not a graphic video. It's just a sound. It compares all the wars with drops of BBs in a trash can lid.
Oh,
and
yeah, how many yeah. I've seen that. Yes, I've seen that. Brother,
For people on this line, I would encourage them, if you want to get a, wrap your head around how many 60 million babies are, you need to listen to that.
Well, I think Jared's got it queued up for us. So on the recommendation of Pastor Dale, The Sound of Abortion. It's not graphic. It's not bloody. It's not screaming. Go ahead and play that, Jared. Not dead air. Hang on. We're coming. His words, you've seen the reality of abortion in America. Now you're going to hear it. Okay, so those of you who aren't watching, don't be involved gumballs, okay? Gumballs.
Right where you bottles, are. Those, I just want you to, right there gumballs. In your seats, just shut your eyes. What you're about to hear are the sounds of metal BBs striking the side of a tin can. For every BB that strikes, it represents 10,000 lives lost in the wars of America's past. 10,000 lives for every BB. This is the reality of what is occurring in your country. The American Revolution. The Civil War. World War I. World War II. The Korean Conflict. Conflict in Vietnam. September 11th and the War on Terror. Since 1973, the War on the Unborn Child.
Wow. Huh? Wow. Out of sight, out of mind, though. Out of sight, out of mind. We don't hear it. We don't see it. But now we're beginning to see. See, you reap what you sow. Lawlessness is abounding. We're reaping what you sow. Abortion is coming home to roost. We don't have any taxpayers. Social Security is in trouble. $20 billion deficit. We don't have any money. We don't have any taxpayers. Open the borders. Let let everybody come in. That way we can get some taxpayers. What about our culture and our society and our Christian heritage? It doesn't matter. We need taxpayers. New world order. We hate religion anyway. We specifically hate Christianity. Who cares? Open the borders, bring them in. That's what we get. See, it's the natural consequences of what we've permitted ourselves to do. Sad. I want to, Lord, show me which direction to go here, because I got a couple interesting things. Okay, Lord, I'll do that. Hey, Jared, go to, I got to find out which one it is. Are you ready for this, fellas? Probably not. Jared, go down at the bottom. It says Christian denomination. Christian denomination. Did you guys know this? There are 33,000 Christian denominations. 33,000 Christian denominations. I'm going to say it again. Because we can name Baptist, Methodist, Lutheran, and Presbyterian. 33,000. Larry, I feel you. I feel you getting ready to say something. All right, go ahead.
You know, kind of flies in the face of the prayer that Jesus prayed to the Father, that they may be one.
Mm.
Kind of flies in the face of the fact that when you take communion and you take it unworthily, you might be bringing bad health and even death to yourself. And the reason Paul gave for that is you didn't understand the body.
Mm. You didn't understand unity. Not discerning the body. Not discerning the body. So he said.
And let me tell you that 33,000 denominations, you know what? God said, and I this is a quote from the Bible. This isn't what I say. God said, I am a jealous God. I will have no other gods before me. I'll tell you what, if somebody asks you what your religion is and the first thing out of your mouth is your denomination, the Bible says what's in your heart comes out of your mouth. If what comes out of your mouth is your denomination, you have put a denomination in front of God, and he hates that.
Amen.
And they don't even know why. They don't even know why they're a Methodist or why they're a Lutheran. They don't even know why. Folks, let me show you here something. Good word, Larry. Jared, scroll on down, because I know you guys aren't going to believe this. Jared, we're going to scroll down quite a bit, maybe 3 pages. Let's keep on going down, because I'm going to show you something here that just absolutely blew me away. Keep going down, Jared. Okay. These are other early Christians. Then there's Eastern Catholic churches, okay? Let's just pause right here a second. This is Catholicism, and on your screen right now are the Eastern Catholic denominations, Albanian Greek Catholic Church, Armenian Catholic Church, Belarusian Greek Catholic Church, Bulgarian Greek Catholic Church. Let's go on down. Then there's the Independent Catholics. And the Independent Catholics, excuse me, are the American Catholic Church in the United States, American National Catholic Church, Antioch Catholic Church in America, Augustana Catholic Church, Archdiocese of the Old Catholic Church of America, down and down and down. Then let's go on down to the Eastern Orthodoxy, denominations of Christianity, denominations of Christianity, all right? There's the Ecumenical Patriarchate of Constantinople, there's the Finnish Orthodox Church, the Estonian Apostolic Orthodox Church, there's the Greek Orthodox Church of America. Keep on going down, Jared. Then there's the Independent Eastern Orthodoxy. There you can. I'm not even going to read all those because I can't pronounce most of them. Then there's the Oriental Orthodoxy. Let's go on down past the Oriental Orthodoxy. 33,000 denominations. Then there's the Church of the East and all of theirs. And then there's the Anglican. Are you ready? Are you ready? The Anglican, just in the Anglican. There's the Anglican Church in someplace in New Zealand, Anglican Church in Central America, the Anglican Church in Japan, Anglican Church of Australia, Anglican Church of Burundi, Anglican Church of Canada, go on down. There's a whole bunch of them. Then the United and Uniting Churches of the Anglican Community. There's the Church of Bangladesh. There's the Church of North India, Church of Pakistan. Let's keep this. It's just Anglicans. These are just Anglicans. Let's go on down here. Mainstream Protestants. Let's get down there, Jared. Excuse me. Oh, let's go to the Lutherans. Let's start with the Lutherans. Well, there they are. The Evangelical Lutheran Church, Concord, Evangelical Lutheran Church, a Free Church, Evangelical Lutheran Synod, Lutheran Church of Central Africa, on down through all the pages full of Lutheran denominations. Then there's Pietists going down there. Then there's Anabaptists. And look at all of them. Then there's Mennonites and all the Mennonites. And then there's the Schwartz and Brethren movement. And then there's the Continental Reformed churches. And there's hundreds of hundreds of them listed. And then we go on down to the Presbyterians, and there's the Africa Presbyterian and the Church of Scotland and the Christian Evangel. And then we get down into Congregationalism, and there's the Church of, and there they all are. And then there's Methodism and the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And then there's a Baptist. We get down in 33,000. What was that prayer again, Larry? What was that prayer again? What did Jesus pray?
That they may be one. Five times he said that in one prayer.
And the most important one is not there, Christian.
Hey, Coach, can I give you a testimony on how we named our church?
Sure.
Because we looked at all that knuckleheaded nonsense, you know, of all these names, and I said, well, I get tired of seeing people's names on the building. I said, I believe it's his ministry, so let's put his name. So it's King Jesus. And then people say, oh, King Jesus Church. I said, no, it's a ministry. So it's his ministry, put his name on the building. And then when people say, well, what's your doctrine of belief? I ask them one question. Have you read the Bible? That's my doctrine of belief right there.
Amen.
You know,
well, we know how the denominations began, right? And we know that
yep.
Hey, Jared, could you Google denominated? Let's see what that says, Jared. It says to denominate is to
divide,
to give a name to. How about that? To express or designate some denomination. Scroll down a little bit more, Jared. Got a frog in my throat here, smart folks. Sorry, keep clearing my throat.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I call it demonic nation.
Yeah. Well, denominate's a math term. That's what I'm trying to get to.
Right.
The divide. It's the numerator and the denominator. The numerator and the denominator, right? So what does denominate does? It divides the whole into pieces. Yeah, Jared.
Which then results in a demonic nator.
Demonic nator. Yep. George?
Hey, I think the only true church, I think we found it in Tulsa. Buddy and I found it, and it's a church called The Way. So I think in Tulsa we finally got it right. We got a church called The Way. Never been there, but I like the name.
Good. The Way.
When I read the book of Acts, I believe it says they were first called Christians in Antioch. So I like
this. And they're making fun of them, actually. They're actually making fun of them, weren't they?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely significant that they were called Christians, not Antiochans. I think there was a clue there.
Good word, Larry.
Hey, Jared. So let's see what the other side does. Jared, let's go down to how about devil denomination? Let's go down and click on 200 anti-Christian groups. We got 33,000 denominations. And the devil's team's only got 200. Only got 200 that we know of. 200 openly bigoted anti-Christian groups have been tagged as intolerant. 200. Can you get down? I haven't looked at this article here this morning, so it's not real fresh. Here they are. This is more than 200 groups and organizations that openly display. Excuse me, Jared, you scrolled down on me. Organizations that openly display bigotry toward the Christian faith have been identified on an interactive map of traditional values groups at Disney. These groups are atheists, humanists, gay rights, anti-Christian groups have made the list because they've tried to silence Christians or remove all public displays of Christian heritage and faith in America, said the American Family Association. So they're the ones that come up with the list. There's 200 anti-Christian denominations. But it is a church, isn't it? Isn't a church an organization of believers? I would think. Jesus said he would build his church, so there must be another church, because he wouldn't have to say he would build the church. He said he would build his church, and the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. So here are some of our opponents. And you know what? Our opponents are being more active than what we are. Our Christianity is inward focused. Their denominations are outward focused. They're on a destructive bent. They're a hell bent to destroy all things Christian. We got 33,000. 33,000. We don't agree on anything. In fact, if they just left us alone, we'd probably just die off. know why they feel they have to attack us. 33,000. So let me go back up here, Jared. Let's go to number two, George Soros. 33 churches, organization funded by Pope George Soros. You guys know this? These are denominations. That's really what we're talking about here, isn't it? Denominations. They all hate Christ. Interesting numbers. Kevin said, yeah, always interesting, isn't it? Scroll down there, Jared. Let's see if some of these denominations. They don't call them that, but that's what they are. Denominations. This is from Distract Media. Okay, here we go. We have the Open Society, the Advancement Project, Air America Radio, All of Us or None. These are all 501c3 organizations, I believe. The Alliance for Justice. Isn't it amazing the words that they use, right? Justice, fetus, civil liberties. Oh, they all sound so good. America coming together. America Vote. America's Voice. These are all denominations. American Bar Association Commission on Immigration Policy. American Bridge to the 21st Century. American Civil Liberties Union. American Constitutional Society for Law and Policy. Denominations. American Family Voices. Don't these all sound so good? American Federation of Teachers. Well, it could be better than that. American's Friend Service Committee. American Immigration Council. The American Immigration Law Network. Law Foundation. The American Independent News Network. The American Institute for Social Justice. Oh, the American Library Association. The American Prospect Incorporated. Amnesty International. Applied Research Center. Arab American Institute, Aspen Institute, Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, Ballot Initiative Strategy Center, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, the Black Alliance for Just Immigration, and the Blueprint North Carolina, the Brookings Institute, and Campaign for America's Future, Campaign for Better Healthcare, Campaign for Youth Justice, Campus Progress, CASA de Maryland, Catalyst, Catholics for Choice, Catholics in Alliance for the Common Good, Center for American Progress, John Podesta, Center for Community Change, Center for Good, on and on and on and on and on. Over 200, I think it is, different denominations that George Soros has at work to destroy Christianity.
So George, hey, Coach.
Yep.
I heard a saying a long time ago that I think is pretty appropriate. It said Satan couldn't beat the church, so he joined it. I think that's very true. Exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. Because as always, I double back, I circle back around to, thank you, Lord. It's amazing how the Lord does this. Hey, Jared, go to my Facebook page. Because I'm going to play a little clip here from the trial yesterday, Governor Bevin. Joseph Spurgeon, Pastor Joseph Spurgeon, is one of the guys down in Louisville that's really leading the charge against it. By the way, is Charles Spurgeon's grandson. Charles Spurgeon's grandson.
Is leading, yes, the battle. Isn't that awesome?
Isn't that unbelievable? And he created a video at the break of one of the, on down, Jared, I'm sorry, at the break of the trial. There it is. He stepped outside. Remember, there's no unity in the church, right? There's no unity in the church. We could end abortion tomorrow. Come on, folks. Church could. We may not watch all this, but Jared, go ahead and play this clip from Reverend Pastor Joseph Spurgeon, grandson of Charles Spurgeon, about what happened in the court yesterday.
Hello, Facebook. We are live outside of the federal court building here in Louisville, Kentucky. If you've been following the news, today was the beginning of a court case in which the Bevin administration, the state of Kentucky, is actually defending themselves. They had tried to use a regulation where an abortion clinic has to have an agreement with a hospital abortion clinic has to have an agreement with an ambulatory service or they cannot operate. And so we're staying outside the court where they've spent most of the morning hearing some testimony and opening remarks. The abortion clinic, EMW, and Planned Parenthood have both taken to court the Bevin administration here on this issue and are trying to get rid of that pro-life regulatory law, the trap law. And, you know, as I sit in this court today, man, I was disgusted, wanted to throw up. It's wicked what is occurring on both sides here, both the plaintiffs and the defendants, talking about the murder of children as if they're talking just nonchalantly about what occurs. Everyone beating around the bush. What was most wicked is that when the state gets up to defend themselves, their argument is not that abortion is murder, that it needs to be abolished, criminalized, and gotten rid of. Their argument is, we have no intention of stopping abortion in Kentucky. If you thought Governor Bevin and their administration was going to try to end abortion in Kentucky, they've made it very much clear in this court that they have no intention to do so. They have no intention of stopping what they call the constitutional right that's already been decided by the Supreme Court. And so they bow down to the court system. They bow down to an unlawful order. And they stand up in this court trying to defend themselves as if they are protecting women. And what you see is, as the plaintiffs get up and they make their arguments, they've made their case actually very well. If you're starting with that premise that this is all about just protecting women, the plaintiffs, those from the abortion clinic, have already made their case very well that it's not even necessary to have an ambulatory agreement. It's not necessary to have an agreement with the hospital. And so what you see in here is an exercise of futility, an exercise of idolatry, as we bow down to the Supreme Court and what they've said about abortion being a constitutionally protected right. And so you have pro-life people, pro-life lawyers, attorneys, state members getting up denying the personhood, denying the life that's about to be murdered, and instead making a case that they're just trying to help make it a safer thing to do. They're just trying to make abortion safer. And then you have an attorney for them getting up with a chart with circles.
We get the idea,
circles,
Coach.
Around
you can cut that off. You can cut that off, Jared.
You know, I think it was just a couple of days ago that I was making the point that when, quote, Christians start praying for specifics and their idea of how God should do stuff, that no two Christians are going to have exactly the same idea and the same instructions to tell God what to follow, that instead we should pray the way he taught us to pray. I think the point I was trying to make has just been exposed.
Well, we got 33,000 Christian denominations. We have a divided body, right? We have a divide. If we were to ask ourselves right now, who's the head of the church? We would say, well, Jesus is, unless you're a Catholic, and then the Pope's the head of the church. And well, I mean, it's just, oh boy. Even so, come quickly, huh, Jesus?
Amen, Roger.
Listen, I want to live another 100 years. I really do. But man, we got some work to do, boys. If we're going to live another 100 years, we have got some work to do. And can I tell you that, as the old saying goes, we have met the enemy and it is us. We're our own worst enemy. Where there is unity, God commands the blessing. We're in court in Kentucky trying to get some terrorist in a black robe say that they won't even admit the obvious. Can't punish immigrants for the sins of their fathers. But you can kill a baby for the sin of his father, his mother. Wicked, wicked times in which we live. God bless you. See you tomorrow from on the ground in the flood-ravaged area, hurricane-ravaged area of Houston. God bless you. Thanks for joining us. See you tomorrow.